7.
"Well, I think you showed a real talent for this, Lord Waxillium, as I believe I suggested."
Wax stopped listening to Steris. Train slowing, chugging sounds retreating, door opening. Wax burned steel. Steris continued talking, and he nodded absently, part of him going through the motions as the rest of him came alert. He heard a click and pushed to his left and held it, pushing to the right against the frame of the train car to keep himself from moving. As the bullet passed in the hallway outside, his push, already in place, slammed it sideways into the wall. Go! His push had shoved open the door. He dropped the earring, damn that Vendel, and pushed to the right on the train car's metal window frame. This launched him out to the left, streaking into the hallway. He rammed into the wall where he'd pushed the bullet, vindication in hand, and drilled the surprised man at the end of the hallway in the forehead. Marisie clipped off a scream. Steris stuck her head out into the hallway wide-eyed. Not the smartest move, but she'd rarely been in gunfights.
"Thanks,"
Marisie said. He nodded curtly. "Get your sister behind some cover." He slipped past her and stepped out onto the small platform between train cars. Only their car had been unhooked and left to drift. A group of three shocked-looking men on horses rode alongside the slowing car. Horses? Wax thought. Really? By the starlight, which was bright tonight with no clouds and the red rip low on the horizon, he could see they wore vests over their shirts and sturdy trousers. A larger crowd of them galloped alongside the train ahead. This wasn't a specific attack on just his car, but a full-blown armed robbery. That meant he had to be quick. He shoved on the platform beneath him and decreased his weight. The three robbers nearby started firing, but Wax's push flung him into the air above their shots, and his decreased weight meant that the wind resistance pushed him backward onto the train car. He landed, increased his weight, and picked one man off his horse. The remaining bandits took off forward, kicking their horses and chasing after the others, yelling, "Allomancer! Allomancer!" Blast, Wax thought, dropping one of them as the other dodged his horse into a stand of trees. He was out of pistol range in a moment and would soon catch his fellows. Wax dropped onto the platform and rushed down the hallway. The room he'd shared with Steris was empty, but he spotted quivering blue lines in the one next door. Marisie had wisely piled everyone into the servants' compartment.
"Robbery,"
Wax said as he threw open the door, startling the servants, Marisie and Steris. Most of them sat on the floor, though Marisie was by the window peeking out, and Steris was on the built-in seat, remarkably composed.
"Robbers?" Steris asked. "Really, Lord Waxillium, must you bring your hobbies with you everywhere we go?"
"They're going after the rest of the train," Wax said, pointing. "The first thieves must have recognized this car as a private one, probably lush with riches to plunder, and so they uncoupled it. But something is wrong."
"Other than people trying to kill us?" Marisie asked. "No," Steris said. "In my experience, that's quite normal."
"What's wrong," Wax said, "is that they're riding horses."
The others stared at him.
"Horseback train robberies," Wax said, "are something out of the story magazines. Nobody actually does that. What good does it do to board a moving train, risking your life when you can just stop the vehicle like the Vanishers did?"
"So are bad guys," Marisie said.
"New to this," Wax said. "Or they've been reading too much cheap fiction. Either way, they're still going to be dangerous. I can't risk leaving you here in case they come back for you, so keep your heads down and hang on."
"Hang on?" Herb said. "Why?"
Wax ducked back out into the hallway and ran to the back end of the car. After checking out the doorway, he jumped onto the tracks behind the private car, which was finally rolling to a stop. Then he tapped his metal mines and increased his weight. A lot. The gravel sank beneath his feet as his body became increasingly heavy. He gritted his teeth, flared his metal, and pushed. The car lurched in place as if another train had crashed into it. His push sent it rattling along the tracks, and Wax let out his breath. His muscles didn't hurt, but he felt as if he'd slammed into a wall. He released his metal mind, returning his weight to normal, and pushed on the rails to pull himself out of the gravel. He almost lost a boot in the process. He pushed once more against the tracks, sending himself chasing after the moving car. "Not nearly fast enough," he thought as he dropped to the ground and increased his weight again. The car rocked as he shoved it, then he hopped and followed, repeating the process three more times to get it up to speed. Then finally he pushed himself all the way up to it, jamming his shoulder against the back wall and using allomancy on the tracks behind to sustain and increase the momentum. Ground passed behind in a blur, rows and rows of wooden ties, the steel rails with a continuous stream of metal lines that pointed toward Wax's chest. He groaned and moved so his back was against the wall. Still, the pushing threatened to crush him, as he couldn't increase his weight here much or risk ripping up the tracks. They shot past a group of horses with a few youths guarding them, the bandits' extra mounts. Wax raised Vindication and fired a few shots into the air, but the horses were too well trained to spook at the sound. He redoubled his push as he thought he heard gunfire ahead of him. A moment later, his car slammed into the train proper. Wax let go, dropping to the platform, his back aching. The couplers had engaged, however, and the car remained attached to the rest of the train. He peeked into the car, then ducked in, passing the room where the others were hiding. In his own compartment, he dropped Vindication into her holster, then yanked his gun case off the top rack.
"Waxillium," Maracy said, slipping into the room.
"You seen Wayne?" Wax asked.
"He was in the dining car a little bit ago."
"He'll be fighting already. If you see him, let him know I'm going to hit the front of the train, then sweep backward."
Wax snapped one Sterian closed, now loaded, then reached for the second.
"Got it,"
Maracy said. She hesitated.
"You're worried."
"No masks."
"No."
"Robbers wear masks," Wax said.
He clicked the second Sterian closed, then buckled on his gun belt. Vindication, after a reload, went back into his shoulder holster.
"And men who don't wear masks?"
"They don't care if they're seen."
He looked over and met her eyes.
"They're already outlaws and don't have anything to lose. Men like that kill easily. What's more, it's obvious to me that they've never tried a train robbery before. Either they are very, very desperate, or someone put them up to this."
She paled.
"You don't think the attack is a coincidence?"
"If it is, I'll eat Wayne's hat."
He eyed the shotgun Renette had given him, then tied on his thigh holster and slipped it in. Then hung two of her cord and sphere contraptions from his gun belt. Finally, he reached up and took a rifle bag off the top shelf and tossed it to Maracy.
"Watch Steris," he said.
"See if you can find Wayne. Check on the next car or two, but don't worry about advancing farther if you meet resistance. Just hold your ground to protect these people."
"Right."
He moved toward the hallway, but as soon as he stepped out, a hail of gunfire drove him back again. He cursed. All it would take was one aluminum bullet, which he couldn't push on, and he'd be dead. He took a deep breath, then glanced out quickly while pushing and counted four bandits on the rear platform of the next car forward. They fired again. He ducked back and watched the blue lines of bullets as they flew, taking chunks of wood paneling off the wall and splintering his doorframe. It didn't appear that any of the bullets were aluminum.
"Distraction?" Maracy asked.
"Yes, please,"
Wax said, increasing his weight and pushing on the window frame, launching it out the side of the car and against a passing tree.
"Fire a few times as I leave, then give me a count of 20, followed by a distraction."
"Will do."
Wax threw himself out the window. Immediately he fired Vindication downward, burying a bullet in the ground and giving him something to push on to launch himself upward. Maracy fired a few quick shots inside, and hopefully the robbers would assume his shot had been inside as well. Soaring high, wind whipping at his hair and suit coat, he shot a second bullet into the ground, but farther out, and used it to nudge himself to the right, placing him above the train. He didn't let himself touch down, instead using a push on the nails in the train roof to keep him flying forward. He soared over his own car and the one the robbers were in, finally landing on the dining car, which was third from the back. As he turned to face the rear, his mental count hit 20. A second later, he heard a spray of gunfire coming from Maracy. That was his mark. Wax dropped between the dining car and the robber's car. He practically fell on top of one of the robbers, backing out of the second car from the end, which he hadn't expected. Wax leveled his gun, but the surprised man punched him in the gut. Wax grunted, increasing his weight. The platform beneath him strained, but when he shoved the robber with his shoulder, it sent the man tumbling toward the tracks. The robber had kindly left the door open for him, and he had a clean shot at the backs of his fellows at the far end who were focused on Maracy in the last train car beyond. Wax didn't shoot. He just pushed on the metal they were carrying. The men flipped off the rear platform, dropping into the space between cars. One caught the railing. Wax shot him in the arm, then turned, leveling his gun toward the dining car. People cringed inside, hiding under tables, whimpering. Rusts. Without bandanas or identifying marks to watch for, he'd have trouble spotting the bandits. He set up his steel bubble, a faint push away from himself in all directions that excluded his own weapons. It was far from perfect. He'd been shot several times while using it, but it did help. He turned and strode into the second car from the back, the one the robbers had been using, checking for hostiles at each door, his steel bubble rattling doorknobs. First-class passengers were hiding here, and none appeared to be hurt. In Wax's car, Maracy ducked out of the room, carrying one of Wax's favorite hats. She shrugged apologetically at its numerous holes.
"If I find Wayne, I'll send him to you,"
he told her, reaching to his gun belt for a metal vial. He came up with wet fingers, and his belt clinked with broken glass. Damn. The robber who'd slugged him had broken his vials. He hurriedly hopped over the space between cars, entering their private car again.
"I need metal,"
he explained at Maracy's inquisitive look. He stepped up to his room, then hesitated as a hand stuck out of the next room down, holding a small vial. "Steris?" he said, walking to her. She was still sitting on the plush train bench, though her face was paler than before.
"Steel flakes in suspension," she said, wiggling the vial.
"Since when have you carried one of these?" Wax asked, taking it from her.
"Since 6 months ago. I put one into my purse, in case you might need it."
She raised her other hand, displaying two more.
"I carry the other two because I'm neurotic."
He grinned, taking all three. He downed the first one, then nearly choked.
"What the hell is in this?"
"Other than steel?" Steris asked. "Cod liver oil?"
He looked at her, gaping.
"Whiskey is bad for you, Lord Waxillium. A wife must look out for her husband's health."
He sighed and drank one more, then tucked the last into his gun belt.
"Stay safe. I'm going to scout the train."
He left and threw himself out the end door, pushing on the tracks and launching himself in a high arc upward. The land spread before him, bathed in starlight. The southern end of the basin, approaching the Saren mountain range, was far more varied in geography than the northern portion. Here, hills rolled across the land, which slowly increased in elevation. The Saren River cut a strikingly straight path through the hills, often having carved out gorges and canyons. The train line stayed up higher, hugging the tops of hillsides, though its path required it to cut two or three times across the river on large latticework bridges. The train consisted of 8 passenger cars, several cargo cars, and a dining car. He let himself drop, focusing on a specific car near the front where gunshots sounded. As he landed just behind that car, someone stumbled out onto the platform, holding his face.
"Armed bank guard," he thought, noting the man's uniform.
The train was bringing a payroll shipment inside a courier car, disguised as if carrying a more mundane cargo. What was that scent in the air? Formaldehyde? The guard was gasping, and soon another stumbled out after him. Both fell a moment later to gunfire from inside the courier car. Wax dropped down onto the platform beside the fallen men, checking on them. One was still moving. Wax knelt and moved the man's hand to cover the hole in his shoulder.
"Press hard," he said over the sounds of the thumping track. "I'll be back for you."
The man nodded weakly. Wax took a deep breath and stepped into the courier car, where his eyes immediately started burning. Men moved inside, wearing strange masks and working at a large safe in the center. A half-dozen dead guards lay strewn across the floor of the car. Wax started shooting, flooring several of the robbers, then pushed himself out again, then upward as the others took cover and started firing back. He landed on the car behind the courier car, holstered Vindication, who was out of bullets, and brought out a Starion. He prepared to drop down to try picking off more robbers, but an explosion inside the courier car interrupted him. It was a small blast, as explosions went, but it still left Wax's ears ringing. He winced and dropped to the platform, noticing figures moving in the smoke, stooping beside the safe, removing its contents. Others started firing at him. He ducked to the side, then pushed the door to the courier car closed, locking the gunfire with a reinforced metal door. He grabbed the wounded guard under his arms and pulled him backward over the small gap between platforms and into the passenger car behind. This was another car with private compartments, though second class, where those rooms had been filled with larger groups. It was currently empty. The passengers, hearing the gunfire in the next car, had fled down the train. He checked each room anyway.
Afterward, he propped the wounded man against the wall inside one of the rooms and tied a handkerchief around the wound, pulling it tight.
Money,
the guard said. They've got the money, Wax replied. Stopping them isn't worth risking any more lives.
But...
I got a good look at several of them, Wax said, and hopefully so did you. We'll give descriptions, chase them down, set a trap on our terms. Besides, if they leave now, there might be time to help a few of your friends in there. The guard nodded weakly.
Couldn't stop them. They threw bottles through the windows, and then the doors ripped off. Steel pushers, pushed into the room, twisted off their hinges like they were paper.
Wax felt a chill. So the bandits had metal born too. Wax peeked around the wall back toward the courier car and found the door he'd closed open again. A thin man stood on the platform wearing a long coat and supporting himself on a cane. He gestured, speaking urgently and motioning for another bandit to lumber toward Wax's car, a hulking brute who had to be almost 7 feet tall.
Wonderful. Get in here, Wax said to the guard,
pulling open the luggage compartment in the room's floor.
Keep your head down.
The guard crawled into the compartment, which was cramped and shallow but large enough for a person, even with a few pieces of luggage in it. Wax pulled out both stereons, crouching in the doorway of the private room. The train continued to rock, going around a bend. The thing hadn't stopped. Did the engineer not know about the attack, or was he hoping to get to the next town?
Rusts. The courier car changed all of Wax's assessments. Maybe this wasn't about him.
But why not just stop the train and raid it in the wilderness? Too many questions and no time to answer them. He had a bandit to kill. He'd have to jump out and surprise the brute, bring him down quick. If he was the Metalborn, surprise would be...
Something bounced down the hallway and came to a rest on the floor beside Wax, just outside the doorway in which he crouched. A small metal cube. He jumped back, fearing an explosive, but nothing happened. What had that been?
And then he realized, with a deep, bone-chilling horror, that he was no longer burning metal. There was nothing inside of him to burn. His steel reserves had, somehow, vanished.
Maracy fired 3 shots with a rifle, driving the bandits in the next car back under cover.
Impressive, she thought, absently handing the weapon to Steris for reloading. She'd always used a target rifle before. You took 1 shot at a time with those, cocking between, but Waxillium's rifle had a full wheel of cartridges that turned on its own like a revolver. Steris handed back the gun and Maracy took aim again, waiting for any bandit bits to peek out. She hid just inside the door to the servant's compartment, and the bandits hadn't made any serious attempts at advancing on her position. Someone said something beside her. Maracy glanced into the room where Druten was speaking. Maracy pulled out one of her wax earplugs.
What? She asked.
Are those earplugs? The valet asked.
What do they look like? She said, then sighted down the rifle and fired a shot.
Druten shoved his hands over his ears. Indeed, in the small chamber, the shot was loud enough that she was annoyed he'd made her remove her earplug.
You carry them with you? Druten asked.
Steris does.
Apparently. Maracy had been a little surprised when Steris had pulled out a pair for herself, then, an unconcerned look on her face, handed a pair to Maracy.
So you expected this to happen?
More or less, Maracy said, watching for movement from the bandits. He seemed aghast.
This sort of thing happens often?
Would you say it happens often, Steris? Maracy asked.
Hmm?
Steris said, removing an earplug.
What was that?
Maracy fired a shot, then looked up.
Think I winged that one.
The valet wants to know if this sort of thing happens often to us.
You more than me, Steris said conversationally. But when Lord Waxillium is around, things do tend to pop up.
Things? Druten said.
Pop up? This is a rusting train robbery.
Steris regarded the valet with a cool expression.
Didn't you inquire about your prospective master before entering Lord Waxillium's employ?
Well, I mean, I knew he had an interest in the constabulary, like some lords have an interest in the symphony or in civic matters. It seemed odd, but not ungentlemanly. I mean, it's not as if he was involved in the theater.
They've gone quiet over there, Maracy thought,
nervously tapping one finger against the rifle barrel. Were they going to try to cross over onto the top of her car again? One of the holes in the ceiling still dripped blood from the previous attempt. To the side, Steris clicked her tongue disapprovingly at Druten's words. He hadn't done his homework, which was a dreadful sin in Steris's eyes. Little could be worse than entering a situation without being thorough.
Is he going to come back? Druten asked. Once he's finished, Steris said.
Finished with what?
Killing the rest of them, hopefully, she said.
Marcy found herself surprised at Steris's bloodthirst. Of course, the woman hadn't been quite the same since her kidnapping 18 months back. It wasn't that Steris acted traumatized, but she'd changed.
They aren't trying to get to us anymore, Druten said. Did they retreat?
Maybe, Marcy said.
Probably not.
Should we go look?
Druten asked.
We?
Well, you.
He tugged at his collar.
Gunfights. I had not actually expected gunfights. Aren't the servants usually left out of such extravagances?
Most of the time, Marcy said.
Except when the house blew up, Steris added. Except then. And, you know, Steris said, best not to mention it.
Mention what?
Druten asked. Don't worry about it, Marcy said, glaring at Steris. Honestly, if the man couldn't do a little research before taking a job.
Wait,
Druten said, frowning.
What exactly happened to Lord Ladrian's previous valet?
Motion in the hallway again. Marcy snapped her rifle up, ready to fire. However, the person who moved out into the hallway wasn't one of the bandits, but an older woman in a fine traveling dress. A bandit walked behind her, gun to her head. Marcy shot him right in the forehead. She gaped, shocked at herself, and almost dropped the gun. Fortunately, the remaining bandit, seeing that the ploy hadn't worked, ran out of the car, fleeing toward the front of the train.
Rusts.
Marcy felt sweat trickle down her temple. She'd fired so quickly without even thinking. The poor hostage stood there, blood from the dead man all over her. Marcy knew what that felt like. Yes, she did. Beside her, Druten let out a few oaths that would have made Harmony blush.
What were you thinking? He demanded of her. You could have hit the woman!
Statistics say...
Marcy took a deep breath.
Shut up! Huh? Shut up!
She stood, holding the gun in nervous hands, and made her way into the next car. The woman had found her husband, alive, fortunately, and was crying in his arms. Marcy stood over the bandit corpse, then looked back out at the roof of her car, where another one lay. She hated this part. A year and a half working with Waxillium hadn't made killing any easier. It was unnerving, and it was such a waste. If you had to shoot a man, society had already failed. Marcy steeled herself and did a quick check of the rooms of the first-class car, determining that the bandits had well and truly retreated. One of the first-class passengers claimed to have experience with a gun, and she handed him the rifle and set him watching to be certain no bandits returned. From there, she went to the dining car, checking on the passengers, calming them. Gunshots came from farther up the train. Waxillium was doing his job. His effective, brutal job. The next car up, fourth from the end, was a second-class car with packed rooms. She checked on the people here, too. Between the two cars, she found four people who had been shot. One was dead, another seriously wounded, so Marcy went to see if Steris had, by chance, brought any bandages or medical equipment. The chances were slim, but this was Steris. Who knew what she had planned for? Marcy passed Druten, who sat morosely on a seat in one of the first-class cabins, obviously wondering how an expert cravat tier had ended up in the middle of a virtual war zone. Steris, however, wasn't in the servants' compartment, nor was she in the one she had been sharing with Waxillium. Increasingly frantic, Marcy searched through the first-class rooms. No Steris. Finally, she thought to ask the man she'd posted on guard.
Her?
He said.
Yes, miss. She went by here a few minutes ago, moving up the train. Should I have stopped her? She seemed very determined about something.
Marcy groaned.
Steris must have slipped past while she was checking in the rooms of the second-class car. Frustrated, she took her rifle back and chased after her sister. Wax's metal reserves were gone. Wax knelt, completely stunned. This was impossible. How in Harmony's name? He twisted, discovering that the enormous bandit had stepped into this car. Doors rattled around the man, shaking as if someone were trying violently to get out. Wax ducked into the hallway and lifted his gun, but it was flipped from his fingers by a push. Immediately after, Wax himself was shoved backward by his gun belts. He slammed into the opposite wall of the car, right next to the closed door leading toward the back of the train. He groaned in pain. How? How had they... He shook his head, then heaved against the wall, using his breakaway buckles to rip free of his gun belts. He dropped to the floor, leaving his guns in the metal vial stuck to the wall as the brute loped toward him. Wax dodged onto the man's first swing and delivered a punch right into the man's side. It felt like punching a steel wall. He danced backward, but Rusts, it had been years since he'd gotten into a real fist fight, and he was slower than he'd once been. The giant's next right hook caught him as he tried to jab for the face. His vision flashed, and his cheek erupted in pain. The blow shoved him into the side wall. Rusts. Where was Wayne? The brute came in again, and Wax dodged to the side, barely, and managed to connect with the man's face. Once, twice, three quick jabs. The brute smiled. Doors still rattled around him. He was a coin shot, obviously, pushing out with a bubble like the one Wax used. It even pressed a little on the metal mines Wax wore on his upper arms, which were resistant to allomancy. This man could have ended the fight at any moment by grabbing a bit of metal and shooting it. He preferred the hand-to-hand fight. Indeed, the man raised his fists and nodded to Wax, still grinning, inviting him to come in for another round. To hell with that. Wax turned and slammed his shoulder against a door into an empty second-class compartment and made for the window.
Hey!
The man said behind him.
Hey!
Wax leaped at the window and increased his weight. He hit the window shoulder first, arms covering his face, and smashed through, then barely managed to catch the bottom window frame as he fell outside. Fingers dripping blood from the broken glass, he pulled himself up, stood on the windowsill, and scaled the outside of the train, finally heaving himself onto the roof. Wind rushed around him, and he was shocked to see that he wasn't alone up here. Ahead about four cars, a group of armed men pressed toward the front of the train, bearing something large and seemingly heavy. What in the name of the lost metal was that?
Hey!
The large bandit said again as he climbed the side of the car. Wax sighed, then kicked the man in the face as he tried to pull himself onto the top. The man growled. Wax kicked him again, then stomped on one of his hands. The man glared at Wax, then dropped back down to the window and climbed inside. You can beat anybody, Wayne always said, so long as you don't let them fight back properly. Wax moved to the center of the train car. He felt he should be chasing down those men up ahead, but he was unarmed now, and the coin shot below was bound to pester him. You have what you wanted, he thought at the robbers. Why are you still fighting? The brute's head appeared a moment later, peeking over the lip of the car's roof near the rear platform, which had a ladder. Wax rushed him, preparing to kick again, but the brute climbed up too quickly. He was holding something. One of Wax's gun belts. Damn. The man grinned, stepping onto the rooftop, pulling Renette's enormous shotgun out and dropping the gun belt. Beneath them, the train shot out of the forest and rolled toward an open bridge rising hundreds of feet above the river below. The brute raised the shotgun as if to fire from the hip. Excellent. Wax dove for the rooftop as the brute pulled the trigger, and the massive kick Renette had built into the gun took him entirely by surprise. The weapon ripped out of his fingers, jerking backward and falling down between the cars. The man howled, cradling his hand. Wax tackled him in the chest. The man grunted, stumbling backward, but caught himself before he toppled off the train. Wax didn't care. He was after the gun belt, which had fallen at the man's feet. He snatched it with his fingers still wet with blood. It held Renette's two cord devices, along with a single glorious metal vial. Wax yanked it out, tucking the gun belt into his waistband. However, the vial lurched in his fingers. He snatched it, holding on tightly, but the brute's push sent him backward across the train's roof in a skid. He slipped and fell to his knees, catching the side of the train. The coin shot kept pushing,
Wax clung to the rooftop with his left hand, but his right arm, which held the metal vial, strained in its socket. The brute smiled and started walking forward. Each step closer let him push harder. Wax gritted his teeth. The cuts on his fingers were superficial, though they stung like hell, and the blood made his grip slippery. He struggled, trying to pull the vial toward his mouth, but failed. Renette's sphere devices. They hung from the gun belt tucked into his waist. Could he use those? How? Beneath him, the train started across the bridge. The thug advanced on Wax, rolling his shoulder and trying to make a fist despite his broken thumb. Behind the man, something moved on the ladder. A head coming up? Wayne. No. He saw the tip of a gun wave as the person climbed. Wayne wouldn't have a gun. Marcy? Steris appeared at the lip of the roof, wind blowing her hair wildly. She looked from the huge robber to Wax, then seemed to gasp, though the wind was too loud for Wax to hear it. She scrambled up and set herself, crouching on one knee, holding Renette's shotgun. Oh, no. Steris! He shouted. The brute spun, noticing her as she set the gun at her shoulder, wide-eyed, dress rippling against her body in the wind. She pulled the trigger. Unsurprisingly, the shot went wild, but it did manage to clip the brute in the arm, spraying blood. The man grunted, releasing his push on Wax. Unfortunately, the enormous kick of that gun, intended to be used to fight allomancers, hurled Steris backward, and right off the side of the train.